Gospel according to Luke and to the chapter 2. Could I commend you on your singing? Beautiful hymn, beautiful tune, but not the easiest tune to sing. But you had a good choir leader here, and he kept us right when to go up and when to go down as well. The Gospel of Luke, the chapter 2, we're thinking again on the subject of prayer. You know, there's no greater privilege than the privilege of prayer, and how often we forget that. How often, even when we come before God in prayer, we keep our eyes on our difficulties rather than on God, when really in prayer we should keep our eyes on God and not on our difficulties. And when we get our eyes upon the Lord, how that changes our whole perspective. We've been looking at some different aspects of prayer, the command on a Sunday night, and then we saw the comforter that we have when we come to prayer. Last night we were at the golden altar. I want to just tonight draw your attention to an individual to see prayer in practice. In Luke chapter 2, we find a saint barely ever mentioned, but we find him here even in prayer. And we're reading tonight from the Luke's Gospel, the chapter 2, and we're reading from the verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every meal that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer, and then let's ask the Lord for his presence and for his help as we turn to his word this evening. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of waiting once again before thee. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that not only hast thou commanded us to pray, but we rejoice that thou hast given us many, many examples of individuals in prayer. And Lord, we pray that we might even learn from these individuals. We thank thee for the scriptures that we have read together this evening. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst open up the sacred page before us. We ask that even now that thou wouldst take away the tiredness of the day. And Lord, that thou wouldst even bring to our remembrance the things that thou would have us to say. And Lord, that thou wouldst by thy Spirit write thy word upon our hearts. It is thy Spirit that breatheth life. And Lord, we pray that we might know that life even as we come here this evening. So we pray that thou wouldst be with us and that thou wouldst help us, for we ask these things in thy name and for thy eternal glory. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, the chapter 2, and I want to draw your attention this evening to the verses 25 and 26, the verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In the opening chapter of this gospel, we read of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born under the law, he was not only circumcised on the eighth day, but on the 40th day, Mary and Joseph brought him up into the precincts of the temple. Mary, seeking her own purification, she brought with her two turtle doves and two young pigeons. The fact that she did not bring a lamb indicates how poor she and her husband were. They could not even afford to bring up a lamb. Coming to the altar, we find an elderly man approaching her. Other than his name was Simeon, we are told very little concerning him. Coming into the courts of the temple, he had one thing, and only one thing upon his mind. We're told in verse 25 that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, as Emmanuel, was simply another name for the Lord Jesus. In Lamentation chapter 1, verse 16, we find the prophet referring to him there as the comforter, or as the consolation of Israel. And Simeon, standing like a sentinel in the court of the temple, he was here looking, waiting for the coming of the Lord. He wanted to see him with his own eyes. He longed to see the Lord more than he longed for life itself. He longed to hold him even in his arms. And you know, the desire of this godly saint should be the desire of every saint. We should be longing to behold the Savior. Indeed, in John's Gospel, we find a number of Greeks coming to Jerusalem for the feast. Approaching Philip, they said in John 12, in the verse 21, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And coming into the city of Jerusalem, there were many wonders to behold. And yet these individuals coming up, their desire was not primarily to behold the temple or to behold the palace, but they longed to behold the Savior. And you see, rather than looking down or looking around, we are to be looking up. We should be seeking to see more of the Savior. Elijah Hewitt was born on the 24th of April, 1920. In the city of Philadelphia. She was a very bright young girl, and going to school, she graduated as a teacher. However, no sooner did she begin to teach than she had a spinal injury. And as a result of that injury, she had to give up her career. However, giving up her career, she began to write hymns. And picking up her pen, she wrote, "More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me." And like the hymn writer, our desire should be to learn more of Christ, to behold the Savior. I wonder, even this evening, as you came to this meeting, was that your primary desire? My, that you might see Christ, that you might see something more of his person, more of his power, more of his perfection, more even of the pardon that he has wrought for us on Calvary. My, the apostle said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And as we come before the Lord, that should be our desire, like Simeon here, that we might see Jesus, that we might behold something, even of him. And so I want tonight simply to draw your attention to this man, Simeon. I want you to notice firstly here that he was a praying man. In verse 25, we are told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word waiting here actually means to plead a cause, being the same word that is used to describe the waiting of the disciples there in the upper room. We discover here that this man, Simeon, was a man of prayer coming before the Lord. You notice here the promises he embraced, as well as being a just or a justified man. We're told in the latter part of that verse 25, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word devout there literally means to take hold of. When we go back into the Old Testament, we find there were many prophecies concerning the first coming of the Lord. While Micah foretold the place of his coming, Daniel foretold the period of his coming. And as well as these promises, we discover here that the Holy Spirit had given to Simeon a personal promise. He told him in verse 26 that he would not die until he saw the Lord. And being devout, or as the word means, taking hold, he taking hold of these promises, we find him now coming before the Lord, pleading them before the throne of grace. I can hear him praying, Lord, fulfill thy word. Lord, let me see thy promised son. And you see, the promises of God are given to us not merely to be pondered, but to be pleaded. They are to be claimed before the throne of God. Indeed, speaking in the days of Ezekiel, the Lord promised to rebuild their cities, multiply their crops, and take away their reproach. And setting these things before them, we read in Ezekiel 36 and the verse 37, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. The word inquired there comes from a primitive root meaning to search or to tread or to seek diligently. In other words, taking hold of this great promise, they were not merely to search it or examine it, but they were to tread it out before God. You see, real prayer is pleading what God has promised. It is asking God to fulfill His word. The great evangelist D.L. Moody said, tarry at a promise and God will meet you there. And there needs to be a coming to and a claiming of the promises of God. Ambrose Whaley lived many, many years ago. He was a blacksmith and he was also a lay preacher. He was known in his community as a man who could touch heaven. No sooner did he pray than his prayers were answered. On one occasion, the local minister decided he would find out the secret of this man's power in prayer. And so he watched him leave the village and he followed him. And he followed him into an old hay loft. And coming into the loft, he sat down beside him and he said, tell me, what is your secret in prayer? He said, learn to plead the promises of God. And I say to you, believer, tonight, don't be content to read the promises. Don't be content even to memorize the promises. Many, and they read the promises, and they frame them, and they put them on the wall, and that's good. But don't be content with that. Claim the promises. Someone said, if you plead one promise every day, it would take you 22 years to plead every promise in the book. And maybe like Simeon, God has not only given you many promises in His Word, but perhaps He has given you a personal promise. A promise concerning your children, or a promise concerning a neighbor, or a promise concerning some particular problem in your life. Then I say to you, believer, tonight, don't be content merely to think about it or to turn it over your mind, but bring it before God. Plead it before God. Can you imagine your child coming to you and saying, Dad, I would like a brand new sports car. And you turn to them and you know the price and you know how reckless they are. You say, no, you're not getting it. But imagine that child came to you and said, Dad, do you remember 3 years ago you said that if I got such and such marks in my exams, you would buy me a sports car? The outcome would be very, very different. God is our Father. He has given to us many promises. And He would have us tonight to come to bring those promises before Him, to remind Him of what He has said, and to plead them. And I say again tonight, don't be content. Take the promises. Bring them before God. Lay them before His throne. Plead them with Him. Not only do we notice here the promises He embraced, but surely we notice the perseverance He exhibited, pleading the promise. We read in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Underline there the word waited. While we are not told his exact age, it would seem from verse 29 that he was ready to die. He was an old man. In fact, he was a very old man. Tradition would have us believe that he was 113 years of age. His beard was gray. His shoulders were stooped. His skin was wrinkled. And each day, looking into the face of the children that were brought up into the courts of the temple, he looking for the coming of Christ, the answer came again and again. No, this child is not the one. And yet, despite the passing of months and the passing of years and the passing of decades, he kept on praying. He kept on watching. He kept on waiting. You see, as well as pleading with the Lord, there needs to be a persevering with the Lord. A keep on asking, and then seeking, and then, if necessary, knocking. Indeed, revealing to the Thessalonians the secret of rejoicing evermore. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 17, pray without ceasing. The historian Josephus used the word translated here, without ceasing, in his works to describe the continual hammering of the battering ram against the walls of Jerusalem. And if you know your history, you'll know it never stopped until those walls cracked and them fail. In other words, Paul here was telling them, keep on banging at the very gates of heaven until those gates burst open and the answer come. You see, prayer is not merely a matter of petitioning God. It is a matter of persevering before God and asking again and again and again, a refusing, like Jacob, to let go. Though it took Gibbon 20 years to write this famous history, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, he never gave up until he completed it. It took Adam Clark 40 years to write his commentary on the Word of God. Michelangelo's Last Judgment took 8 years and over 2,000 studies to complete. And you know what? These men persevered in earthly matters and earthly works. How much more should you and I persevere before the throne of grace? We should pray on and pray on. Maybe you say tonight, but I've been praying. I've been praying for weeks. I've been praying for months. There's a certain individual, and I've been praying for them for many years. Here was a man, my old age. We don't know exactly, but he had been waiting, praying for the coming of Christ. And can you imagine if he had given up what he would have missed? I think so often when it comes to prayer, we pray. And just as it were, the ships laden down with the answer leave the courts of heaven, we give up. And the answer goes back to heaven. Oh, believer, we need that perseverance. We need to persist with God. We must not give up. We must not be like little children who run and knock at the door and then run away. We need to hold on before God. Not only the perseverance he exhibited, but surely we notice there the person he encountered. Beholding the Lord, we read in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Coming into the temple, Mary and Joseph were not looking for Simeon. From the context, it would seem that they were complete strangers. However, as Simeon prayed, he suddenly, lifting his eyes, he beheld the Lord Jesus. Lifting him up in his arms, he held him close to his heart. He could feel the warmth of his presence. He could hear the beat of his heart. You see, prayer not only carries our supplications heavenward, but it carries the Savior earthward. It brings him into communion and into contact with us. Indeed, Daniel fasting by the river Hiddekel and praying for 3 weeks, we read in Daniel chapter 10 and the verse 5, he said, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. Lifting up his eyes, he beheld the Lord as he had never seen him before. His face had the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like burning torches of fire. You see, the presence of the Lord is real. And it's in the place of prayer that he reveals himself. Where two or three are gathered together, the Lord said he would be there in the midst. Did Thomas not learn that the hard way? When the disciples on the Sabbath day gathered up to pray and to wait before God, he was missing, and he missed the presence of the Lord. And when we fail to pray, and when we miss the place of prayer, we miss the Lord's presence. You want to know the warmth of his presence. You want to know the nearness of his power. You want to see him. Then you need to wait. It is only as you wait that the Lord will come. And we find here Simeon coming before the Lord. He took the promises. He pleaded the promises. He refused to give up. And refusing to give up, he lifted the baby Christ in his arms and gazed into his face. And if we are to know fellowship with Christ, we need to plead his word. We need to wait before him. We need to wait. But I think in these words, not only do we see that he was a praying man, but notice also here that he was a possessed man. Just as the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and came upon John the Baptist, so we now find the Holy Ghost coming down here upon Simeon and working within him. You notice here that there was a disclosing of the person of the Savior. We're told in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Generally speaking, the Jews, believing the promised Messiah would deliver the nation politically, they were looking for one who would come in royal procession, who would have armies to do his bidding. In contrast, Simeon, now looking up, all he saw was a carpenter, a young woman, and the little baby. And being only 40 days old, the Lord would have looked no different from any other baby. He had no distinguishing features. However, the Spirit of God suddenly coming upon him, Simeon lifting his voice, he said, "He is the one." You see, the Spirit of God falling upon him, he revealed the Savior. And the Holy Spirit is the great lightener. He, through prayer, opens the understanding, revealing things that we otherwise would never see. Indeed, beholding the disciples' confusions and their fears for the future, the Lord seeking to reassure them, he said in John 14 and the verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The little phrase there, "all things," is used in a relative sense. It was not that he would teach or he would reveal to them everything, because then they would be as God. But he was promising here to reveal to them those things that they needed to know. You see, we have within us tonight a resident teacher, one who through prayer will teach us all that we need to know. And more than that, he will reveal the Savior. You know, when Thomas Edison was a little boy, he was looked upon as a bit of a dunce. In fact, he was so slow academically that his teacher came to the place that she refused to teach him any longer. She put him out of the class. And of course, when news came back home, as you can imagine, the mother was upset. However, she said, "My son is not stupid. He's different. I will teach him myself." And you know, being taught by a loving mother, he became the genius that he became, inventing among other things the light bulb. And you see, if you, like Simeon, study the Scriptures and wait before God, the Spirit of God will teach you. He'll enable you to see Christ. Sometimes people say, "Preacher, I read my Bible, but it's dull, it's dead, it's dry. I read the Old Testament, I can get nothing out of it." But I tell you this, if only you read it upon your knees in the attitude of prayer, the Spirit of God will open your mind. And it'll enable you to see Christ. To see Christ in the prophecies. To see Christ in the precepts. To see Christ in every promise. You know, when we miss the place of prayer, what blessings we miss. We miss seeing Christ. We miss seeing the Savior. Oh, believer, if only we wait, if only we tarry, the Lord, by His Spirit, will open up His Word. And He'll reveal Christ to us. And that's what will warm your heart. Not only did he disclose the person of the Savior, but notice also he directed his path to the Savior. Coming upon him, we read in verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law." Under the law, every woman in those days giving birth was required to come up into the courts of the temple, bringing with her a sacrifice. She was to offer it for her uncleanness before the Lord. And while Simeon would have known in his heart that the Lord Jesus one day would come into the courts of the temple, he did not know when. And coming upon him, the Spirit of God not only brought him at the right time, but he brought him to the right place. You see, he guided him.
And the Spirit of God not only develops us, the Spirit of God through prayer directs us. When we seek Him, He shows us where we ought to be. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, he said in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The little word "led" there being in the present tense, it indicates a continuous action. In other words, he would continually lead them. And the Spirit of God not only reveals the person of the Savior, but He reveals the path of the saint. He'd show you through the Scriptures where you should be and what you should be doing. Have you ever maybe in your life being at a crossroads and you've wondered what way I should go, what should I do? And you've been reading the Scriptures and you've been making it a matter of prayer, and suddenly a verse that you perhaps never paid much attention to before suddenly pops up and hits you like a sledgehammer, directing your path. And I tell you this evening, if only we wait before God, if only we tarry, the Lord, through the Scriptures, by His Spirit, He will lead you. He will guide you. You see how important prayer is. Without prayer, we'll not know His will. We'll not see Christ. Our understanding will be dull. You notice also here that He disturbed him to proclaim the Savior. Being moved by the Spirit, we read in verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against her." He told her that the Lord was set not only for the salvation of many, but also for the damnation of others. He bore witness to the life, to the ministry, to the work of Christ. And the Spirit of God does not lull men to sleep. He stirs them to speak. He enables them to bear witness. You remember the disciples, and after the crucifixion, the world caved in around them. And we find them coming up into the upper room and praying. And what was the consequence? By praying, the Spirit of God falling, then they went out. And they began to witness. And they began to tell of Christ. And you see, believer, if only we wait, the Spirit of God will stir our hearts and will not be able to sit still, but will want to go out and go to our neighbors and go to our friends and tell them of Christ who is mighty to save and warn them of the judgment that is to come. Praying, the Spirit of God might work in his heart. If we're to know the Spirit's power, to know the Spirit's guidance, we need to pray. We need to pray earnestly. We need to wait before God. But not only was he a praying man and a possessed man, he was a praising man, praising the Lord. You notice here that his prayer was answered. Look at verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The name Simeon means God has heard. The promise given to him was that one day he would see the Savior. And pleading the promise, his name now was fulfilled. The Lord hearing, not only did he see him, but he held him. And he looked into his face. You see, the Lord is not a miser. He gives more than we could ever ask. You know, 3 years before his death, Jim Elliot, the missionary, was watching an Indian die in a little jungle hut. And seeing that man die, he lifted his voice and he prayed, "Lord, let me live until I have declared thy work to this generation." He didn't expect God to answer that prayer the way he did, because shortly after that, before he was 30 years of age, he was speared to death. It seemed his work was done. His prayer had not been answered, but his story spreading across the nations, multitudes giving themselves to the work of the gospel. Going forth, the name of Christ was declared to many. You see, God hears. God hears. Simeon's name means God has heard. He heard his prayer. He answered his prayer. And believer, we have that confidence tonight. God is more willing to give than we are even to ask. And if only we ask, he will give more abundantly than we could ever even imagine. His prayers were answered. Notice also his perception was altered, because look at verse 29. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Bowing his knee, seeing Christ, bowing his knee, he now asked the Lord to let him die. You see, now seeing Christ, this old world lost its attraction. He had no longer any desire to stay in it. And I tell you, the more we discover of Christ, the less we will desire this world. The attraction will be taken even away. Oh, how often in life many are so taken up with this world. They're so busy building for this world, it seems as if they don't want to leave it. But I want to tell you, if we seek Christ, this world will lose its attraction and will begin to long and yearn our hearts to be with him, which is far better. Here was the godly saint. He said, I've seen Christ. Let me die. This world is nothing for me. Let me see him in glory. I think also his peace was assured, because in verse 29 he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Notice here he uses the word depart. Death for him was not the end. It was merely a departure. And knowing it would bring him to glory, there was peace. There was peace in his heart and life. And prayer not only brings power, it brings peace. It brings that peace that passeth all understanding. Wasn't one of the martyrs being arrested and sentenced? He was then led out to the place of his execution. And as he walked out to the place of his execution and lifted his eyes and saw the gallows where he would, or the stake where he would be tied and burned, with great sorrow, he cried out, I cannot burn. I cannot burn. And immediately the Romanists, who had gathered to watch his death, they began to cheer and celebrate. He has recanted. But as they celebrated, that old saint fell down upon his knees and began to pray. And in a moment or two, he stood up to his feet. And he said, now I can burn. Now I can burn. What peace he had as he went to the stake. And you know, believer, this evening, if only we wait before God, he'll increase our peace. Here was a man, and his name means God has heard. He waited. Don't know exactly how long he waited, but he waited decades. And though at times there would have been much to discourage, he held on. And his prayer was answered. And he saw the Savior. And maybe you've been praying tonight, praying for revival. And you say, preacher, things are getting worse.